right, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. As I have said before, Romans is probably the greatest book in all the Bible. Now, I know all of them are wonderful, all 66 of them. However, for me, it represents the pinnacle, the top, the Mount Everest, especially of the New Testament. And here in chapter 8, what Paul is doing is giving us a description of the provisions for we believers, what we are to be given as far as the Lord is concerned. So for those who are in the Lord Jesus, who have trusted him as Lord and Savior, Paul begins that chapter by saying there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And that's wonderful to know. He further goes on to tell us, and 23 times he talks about the Spirit of God in Romans chapter 8. So it's all about the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. And what we saw was the creation groans, waiting for the redemption. The Christians groan, waiting for the redemption. The Comforter groans, trying to get us ready for the redemption. And our verse today kind of begins the ending of chapter 8, where Paul just almost bubbles over at the end of this chapter because it is so exciting to hear. So our verse today is Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and from the New International Version it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose." Father, we're grateful for the opportunity. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, that the word of God would sink deep in, and that we would apply it in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as I said, this is kind of just a general statement of what is going on. And it's talking about God's sovereignty for every Christian. God's sovereignty. And what that means is God orchestrates everything in our lives. Now, I know that's hard for some people to think about, but it's nevertheless true. Not most of the time, not some of the time, all of the time, every bit of the time. Everything in the life of the child of God is working out for good. Now, I'm going to get into that because, you know, I don't know about you, but I start thinking about, wait a minute, I remember back when, you know, we always had those things running through our minds. Now, even the things we don't understand, the things we don't like, God's working for our good and his glory in every one of those things. And I believe that next to John 3:16, can we all quote John 3:16? Ready? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Next to that verse, I believe Romans 8:28 is the greatest verse that we could possibly think. And it is a specific problem, or a specific promise to God's children. Not everybody, but just to those who are his. And what it says is God takes all the circumstances of our life, both good and bad, both sweet and bitter, and he works them all for our good and his glory. You know, I read a story about this airplane, and it was flying along and everything was fine. One of the engines began to smoke. And the pilot came on and assured the passengers, "Everything was fine. We had a little fire in one of the engines, but we have three more engines, so nothing to worry about." I know you guys already know where this is going, right? "With three engines left, we'll be able to tell you there won't be any problems." Well, then the second engine fails. Pilot comes back on and says, "No danger. Two engines, we'll still get to where we need to be. Not a problem." Well, then the third engine fails. And the pilot informs the passengers, "Now it's going to be necessary. We'll have to land a little bit short of our destination." So finally, the fourth engine fails. And a calm voice comes over the speaker and it says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a problem with this airplane. We will need to make an emergency landing. The pilot and the crew have abandoned the plane and are parachuting to safety. There's no need to panic. The plane is operating on automatic pilot, and everything is under control." Under, could it?
Hello?
You know what? There are times in our own lives when things seem like they're out of control. Totally out of control. And it's times like this when unbelievers are really convinced that there's no pilot in their plane. Or if there was a pilot in their plane, he's already abandoned ship and he's gone to leave them to face the consequences of their life all by themselves. But we're Christians. We believe there's a God, right?
Amen.
All right. We believe he takes care of us, right?
Amen.
Okay. And when life goes smoothly and God's blessings are evident and we're just rejoicing in everything that's going on, we sometimes tend to forget what God is doing in our lives, and we say, boy, I'm having a great time. Look at all the things that I'm doing. Boy. But when the bottom falls out, the trials of life seem to be swallowing you up, and you seem to be totally out of control, and all the things are going bad in your life, some folks wonder whether God's really in control, or if he really even cares about us anymore. Let me tell you something, folks. We will never know the tragedies and the troubles and the tribulations that God has prevented by using drastic measures in our lives. And it's at that time, sometimes it angers us, sometimes it frustrates us, sometimes it confuses us what God is doing in our lives. But remember Romans 8:28. It's all working for good. Well, that raises some questions, doesn't it? Have you ever been bitter towards God because something you think he caused or maybe he allowed to happen? Have you ever been disappointed with God because he didn't do something you asked him for? Have you ever been angry with God because he allowed something to happen to you or a loved one that you know he could have prevented? Have you ever resented something about your physical appearance? Your physical features? The way you were born? Not me. Let's get real, huh? All right. But if any of us have had any of those kinds of questions, there's a truth that we really need to hold on to. And it's a fact that we need to put in a picture frame hanging on a wall someplace. A principle that we need to think about it. And this is it. No matter what happens, God always acts in our best interest.
Amen.
Y'all heard that? Let's say it together. You see it on the screen. No matter what happens, God always acts in our best interest. But you know what? That raises another question, doesn't it? What's our best interest? What is it? Well, here it is. I'll give it to you in a nutshell. Anything that makes us more like Jesus is in our best interest. And so what matters happens, or what matters to us happens, because God is working in our lives. And according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, here's some truths we need to remember. And here's the first one. We can rely on God's control over our life. We can rely on God's control over our life. There's no greater promise in the Bible than this one. But we need to notice who it's directed to. Says we in the first part of that verse, and it refers to the people that love God, the ones who are the called, right? It's a modifier there. Folks, there's only two types of people in the world. You've heard me say this so many times. There's the saints and the ain'ts. Those who love God and those who don't love God. Those are the two areas. However, not everybody who says they love God really loves God. Jesus said in John 14:21, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. That's some heavy-duty stuff, isn't it? So Romans 8:28 is only for those who truly love God. And it's for the ones who are the called. Now what does that mean, the called? Those are the ones that God has called to be part of his family, and they have responded to that call by surrendering to the Lord Jesus and becoming a child of God. Those are the called. I've had so many people ask me, I don't know whether I'm one of the called or not. I said, does the Lord speak to your heart? Do you feel that tugging in your life? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Yeah. Okay, you're the called. That's who it is. Never forget that God's promises are for God's children. Now notice the word know, and we know. If you love God, you ought to know that everything's working out for your good and His glory. No questions, no qualifications.
Amen.
Whatever we see happening, we can be sure that it is not only under God's control, but His purpose is to produce what God's glory is for us and for our good. That's what He's doing in our lives. So when life's trials cause some people to wonder if God exists, or others really wondering if He really is in control, the Christian can be assured that God is there, He's in charge, He's bringing His purposes and His glory to bear in each one of our lives. That's an ironclad promise from Almighty God. And His reputation rides on a verse, on that verse being true. And it is. Now, He didn't say that all things are good. He didn't say that. But that they will work for good. It's a promise that is as good as God. In Romans, a little bit earlier in chapter 4, Paul said, God has the power to do what He promised to do. If He promised to do it, He's going to do it. Now, folks, there are a lot of things that we don't know about God. There's a lot of things in life we don't know, right? We may not always understand what God's doing in our lives. And I can tell you this, for a lot of times, it is most of the time. I don't understand what God's doing in my life. I just enjoy the ride. I mean, it's a lot of fun. You say, well, you don't know about my life. Maybe that's a praise. Each one of us has to do our own thing, right? Each one of us is going to stand before the Lord. I'm not going to have to give an account for you. I am, in a manner of speaking, as the pastor of the church. I'll have to give an account for the congregation. But when I stand before the Lord to give an account of my life, I'm not going to have to blame you. He said, I'll get to them. I'm going to deal with you right now. We may not always understand what's going on, but we know that God is there. Remember this. Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Now, folks, there's some things that we know that we have never seen, right?
Amen.
I know Jesus is real. I've never seen Him. I know heaven is real. I've never been there, but I know it's real. Amen. We may not always think God's going to work out all these things for our good. But He will. We may not always be able to figure out how some things could possibly work out. You just don't understand, Lord. This can't work out. Yeah, it can. God's going to work it out. If you belong to Him, He's going to work it out. We need to just take the promise, even though we don't understand it, and stand on that promise. Someone has once said, never doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Never doubt in the dark what God's told you in the light. I can know that when this day is done, the end of my life, when I look back, I can absolutely say, God, everything that was in my life was working towards Your glory and my good. Hallelujah for that, folks. So we can rely on God's control. We can also rest in God's commitment to our life. Because behind every promise of God is the providence of God. Folks, and whether we translate it, God works all things together for good, which is the New American Standard Version, or all things work together for good, that's the King James Version, or in all things God works together for good, that's the NIV, all of them say the very same thing. Don't they? God's in control. It's God who does it, right? God sees every event before it occurs, provides for that event to fit into His plan for our life. Notice I said it was His plan for our life. Not our plan for our life. His plan for our life. We don't always know what's going to happen, and things may seem to be worse than they have ever been in your life. You can't imagine how anything could get any worse than it is, and it does. And yet God is there working with you, bringing you through it, so that He will get the glory and you will be good for it. That's why we've got to keep in mind that all things work together. Every moment is a piece of the puzzle in God's plan for our life. He's putting it in one at a time. Now that doesn't mean everything that happens to us is good. Most of us can remember the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. Let me give you the Cliff Notes version of those 13 or 14 chapters. He was kidnapped by his brothers. He was sold into slavery, taken to a foreign land, thrown in a prison, trumped up charges that he didn't do any of it, left to rot in jail. But in time, God took him from the prison to the palace, made him the prime minister over Egypt. All of those terrible things that happened to Joseph were working together to accomplish God's purpose. Now that word in verse 28, that word works, literally means works together. Works together with. God is working all things that happen in our lives to make them turn out for our good and His glory. God took everything that happened to Joseph. His brother's hatred, Potiphar's mistrust, his prison time, all of it he used and eventually made him the prime minister of Egypt. And that's why in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." So you see how God took the horrible things in Joseph's life, worked them out so that he is the prime minister in Egypt, and now he's able to legislate and to be able to take care of not only the people in Egypt, but the Israelites get taken care of. That is a wonderful thing to know. So the next time you doubt whether or not Romans 8:28 is true, look at the cross, folks. Look at the cross. God took the most evil work in the history of man. They murdered his own son. And they turned it, and he turned it into the way of salvation. God took the old rugged cross and turned it into a bridge of blessing. God took the shed blood of his own son and turned it into a river of redemption. Now, think back with me about the disciples. When Jesus was crucified and he was taken from the cross and he was buried, how many of the disciples went and sat and waited for him to come out of that grave? Zero. None of them. Right? None of them. Even the women, the devout women who loved him, when they got there on Easter Sunday morning, what, were they going to look to see Jesus alive? No, they were going because they wanted to anoint the body of their dead leader. Right? It was horrible. On the road to Emmaus, the disciples, the two, were talking to one another saying, "This is terrible. We thought he was going to save the world. We thought he was going to do everything, and now it's been 3 days and everything's just terrible." Right? Even the disciples in Mark chapter 8, Jesus was telling him what was going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. And then 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. You know what the disciples heard? "I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to die." They didn't hear anything else. Jesus told them what was happening. He didn't hear it. They didn't hear it. Reminds me, this is a personal illustration. About 10 or 12 years ago, I had cataracts. And so the doctor said, "We're going to have to remove the cataracts." I said, "Okay, what is the process there?" So he began to explain the process to me. He says, "Well, we anesthetize the eye. We put a little gadget on there so you can't blink. You know, so you won't have to worry about that. And then we make an eighth of an inch incision." And then he began to tell me the rest of his things. When he got finished, "Did you have any questions?" I said, "No, you lost me at an eighth of an inch incision in my eye. I didn't hear anything else you said." Now, he told me, but I didn't hear it. And you know what? That's a lot of times what it is with us. We hear this verse, "God causes all things to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called," but we don't understand it because we're so wrapped up in our own situation. So we can rely on God's control over our life. We can rely on His commitment or rest in His commitment. And here's the third one. We can relate to God's calling on our life. Paul talks about those who are called according to His purpose. As a Christian, God has a calling on our lives. Yeah. He really does. Listen to what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He called us. He told the church at Corinth, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. He told Timothy, he saved us and called us to a holy life. Folks, that's God's calling for each one of us, to live a holy life. And the key to all of it is God's purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. He goes on to say, for we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, two good works which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. That's God's purpose. See, the best thing that could ever happen to us in our life is not to make $1 million. It is not to become famous. It's not to live in a mansion. It's not to drive a Mercedes. Now, I'm not saying any of that's wrong. I mean, hey, if that's what you got, that's where you are. I mean, praise the Lord for that. But the best thing that can happen to us is for us to follow the Lord Jesus. You know why? Because he's the one that can give us joy in the midst of our sorrow. He's the one that can give us peace in the midst of our tribulations. And he's the one who gives us hope in our darkest hours. Folks, that's priceless. Amen. You can't put a price on those things. That's what God has created us for. That's what God called us for. Folks, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. His name's Jesus. And I know one thing that's true of all of us who love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. No matter what happens, all of us, as a church, can trust God to use everything for his good and our glory, or his glory. When life's trials cause us to wonder if God exists or if he's in control, we should know that God is in charge. And he's bringing about his purpose for his glory, and it ultimately is for our good. Now, folks, we're never going to be able to prevent God from fulfilling his promises in our lives. And whether in spite of our sins, like in the Old Testament Jonah kept running away from God, and running away from God, and running away from God. Or in cooperation and obedience, like Joseph, who obeyed and obeyed and obeyed. God's purpose is going to be accomplished. Amen. And you can get to Nineveh first class, or you can go as a tourist. You know, that's up to you. But when God's purposes are for us to go to Nineveh, folks, where are we going? Nineveh. Whether we get there, like I said, right straight down, or we go through the back roads, either way, we're going to get there. We can rest assured that God's taking our tears and our tragedies and our trials and our tribulations and working them together for our good. We may not see it. We may not understand it. But we can know that it's true, and one day we'll understand that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen?